Back here, Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Joe, are you reading up into submarine travel?
Into going?
No.
Oh, no. I am definitely... I watched a video yesterday about how meals were prepared on submarines. So I have been nonstop following stuff on the submersible and underwater life.
I know that you're not going.
Yeah, no thank you.
We established that, right, yesterday. I'm looking at the James Cameron's Challenger Deep, you know, going to the deepest part of the Mariana Trench, deepest dive ever. Like, it is really, really incredible, like, that you're able to do that. And I wonder what the feeling is like being there. And, like, that's why people do it, right? Like, you'd have to feel, there's so many things. One, you are exploring something that basically nobody has seen before. Right, you're going down to the floor of the ocean, which is, you know, does not sustain life for obvious reasons. And hardly anybody's ever been down there, especially like this one, on the deepest part. Deepest known part, I should say, of the ocean. You have to feel like so alone, right? Like nobody anywhere around you or even close takes hours just to descend there. And then the feeling of being there, which I would have to imagine is one of two things. It's either one, incredible, or two, very boring.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're really into that, right, this is awesome. You're seeing it. It's right in front of you. Again, you can't touch it, but it's right in front of you. But I don't know. I think for me alone, Brian, I think panic starts setting in when you look out that window on your way down and there's nothing around you. There's nothing in front of you, on top of you, below you. There's just nothing.
You hope there's nothing.
Right. Exactly.
Like the sea monster would kind of come to get you. But I'm like very interested in these like really deep dives because I got like, do you think it's important?
I mean, I think it's important that they found the Titanic back in the 80s. Does that make you get what I'm saying? Like, that's cool. They brought a lot of artifacts off of it.
See, I don't think that's important at all.
See, I think that's important. That kind
Why?
Of. Well, they found it in the 80s. There were still people alive, still families affected by the Titanic, you know. And they found where exactly.
There's some silverware. Like, what does that do for them?
I think maybe important is the wrong word. Maybe it's just cool that they found where the Titanic was. I don't think these, you know, missions of, you know, people going down there just to take a look for themselves. We're not learning anything new. So I think the importance, if you believe it's important, I think the important missions have already happened.
Clear, not the Titanic itself, going to the floor of the ocean, like doing a deep dive. Forget the Titanic for a moment.
I mean, I took oceanography, and they would make you believe it was important. No, just going to the bottom of the ocean. I mean, again, you know what else is on this earth with us, if you feel that's important. But no, I don't think going to the ocean floor is all that important.
Yeah, I think what you just said, I think that's pretty important. Like, knowing what else is on this earth with that, like knowing what's on the planet that we live on.
I don't think it's worth the risk.
I think it absolutely, how could it not be? Like, and we talked all day yesterday about risk, right? And like, everything has risk. Without taking some risk, I mean, would we ever know what makes a volcano tick? Right? Like, would we ever know anything about anything without taking risk? Like, you have to.
You make a good point.
Be the first. No one would ever be living in your great state, Joe, of Montana, if people didn't, you know, take the risk of going out and exploring.
That's right. That's right. But let's just say, what's more important, and you might disagree with me on this, what's more important to know? What's in the ocean 2 miles below us, or what's going on in space?
I think it's both equally important.
Yeah, I think space. And I think we've gained more from our space travel than we have our ocean travel.
Yeah, you're just pulling that out of thin air, though.
How many satellites are in the ocean? Actually, that's a bad question because there probably are some. But you get what I'm saying. Without any kind of space travel, a lot of our forms of communication would not have been launched into space. I do think for our day-to-day life, space travel was more important.
Yeah, because you watch cell phone videos when you're going to the bathroom, and you wouldn't be able to do that without the satellite.
That's right.
But for, you know, the health of humanity and the planet, I think both are equally important. You want to explore and know about it. I like the thing that sets this aside and why this is a little bit different and why I think people are feeling a little bit differently about this is because it wasn't really exploration, right? Like they're going to the Titanic, right? That it's deep sea tourism. Nobody's really taking anything from it, exploring. Nobody is saying, wow, I can't believe we were actually able to do it like they did the first time. You know, we know that we can, with the proper equipment, go that deep. So there wasn't much to be learned from this trip. I mean, now there is, after, you know, a tragedy unfolded on it. But at its offset, they didn't go down in this submarine and say, okay, we're here to better humankind.
Yeah, I mean, these individuals were just on a trip. This was just, these are just tourists.
And I think it's a little disingenuous the way it's been talked about.
How so?
All throughout the week. The second you mentioned to me that there's a news network with a countdown clock.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought, like, it's just so, it's so disingenuous.
Sensationalized?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but the sensationalism doesn't bother me, Joe. Like, strange enough. Like, I know that would bother a lot of people, but to me, it's the point of being disingenuous. You know, we were playing something earlier, National Geographic and ABC News, and they're talking about the submersible, and the question is asked, you know, like, tell it to me straight. You know, what is there really, you know, any hope, you know, here? We're talking about the oxygen clock winding down to zero. But what happened? And, you know, this non-answer was given. Like, telling it to you straight would be, they're dead.
Unfortunately, like, I think that's the truth. Like, yeah,
that's the moment you lost contact with the sub and weren't able to reestablish. Like, the most likely outcome was a horrible tragedy, an air pressure tragedy. I mean, this thing might be crushed, right? Like, that is the likely scenario.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here, you know, 4 days after the fact with, you know, quote-unquote news networks running down this clock like, well, if they can find it, in the next hour, you know, never mind that you need to be able to open it. Never mind that
it needs to come to the surface.
Yeah, it takes hours to come to the surface from where it is, likely where it is. Like, never mind any of that. That this idea that, like, oh, you know, like, now is when, like, we can say that they're gone. Like, I don't know. That seemed extremely unrealistic to me. And for it to be, like, kind of portrayed that way, like this was a race against the clock, I don't know. I thought it was disingenuous because telling it to people straight of what happened was there was likely a terrible accident 4 days ago.
But that, in my opinion, Brian, that became more apparent when we finally got news of the warning that they had received over this submersible, I wanted to call it a submarine, submersible in 2018, that it could suffer catastrophic results. Now that you've read that, well, they've been warned about this, and it is more likely that, as you said, Brian, it was an air pressure thing, or it just got crushed, and that they've been dead since, like you said, 8 a.m. on Sunday when they lost communication.
They were also looking for it by air. It was white, which would blend in with, the wave caps and the water.
Right.
Joe, I read this. I thought it was a joke. I had to confirm with a couple of different places that this was actually said. The sub was white instead of yellow because he didn't like the Beatles song.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
But, well, there's a reason why. It could have been orange or red. It's white. Maybe one of the worst colors next to blue.
To be in the ocean.
If you have an emergency like this and are looking for people above this, in the sky trying to locate this, you're giving yourself no shot.
Yeah. I did not know that until you said it, Brian. And you're right. That really impedes them. It seems like on the list of bad decisions that this company made or warnings that this company had ignored. We are starting to really get a list of those things over the last few days.
Yeah, but I guess I was looking at all these other deep sea exploration, things, Joe, because I was just so fascinated with that idea that, we're reaching the bottom of the, which true, with the Titanic, the ocean floor. But that's only about a third of the distance to the bottom of the deepest spot where somebody has been in a manned sub. And that is incredible to me.
Wait a minute.
That's crazy.
That's news to me. What's the furthest someone's gone?
The Mariana Trench, the James Cameron. And I believe a few others have followed since, but he was the first. He went down in the...
I didn't know it was two-thirds further than Titanic.
What was the Deep Sea Challenger? The Titanic is on, it's on the ocean floor, but it's certainly not on the deepest part of the ocean floor.
Wow.
And he went way deeper than where they are now. That is absolutely incredible to me, reaching the deepest part of the Mariana Trench. And that happened about 10 years ago.
James Cameron's all about this stuff. He
loves
this stuff.
I would love to hear. Has he been interviewed anywhere?
No. I'm surprised that James Cameron has not spoken out, because his fascination with underwater and Titanic specifically, I'm surprised that I'm sure he will. He's probably just waiting for, to see what happens.
He is, it almost sounds like a joke. The director of the movie is. But he's one of the foremost experts.
Yeah.
On the Titanic, but also took a sub deeper than anything else. I think it was beat by another sub, but anyways, deeper, as deep as anyone else in human history.
It's amazing.
Also directed a hit movie.
Yeah.
What a life. But he's the guy. I would love to hear from him and kind of what he says about this, because he is a guy that a lot of people would look at and say, he's a director, successful director. He's just doing this for fun. He's the guy everyone would say is the tourist, but that's not really the case.
No, not at all. He does serious missions. Let me ask you, let me tell you this. I think this is the way that information can be turned around now. There's already a documentary on this coming out tonight.
Isn't that wild?
We are still in it. We're still in the search. And there is an hour documentary tonight. I'm sure there'll be a part two.
We don't even have an ending, I was going to say.
Right, yeah.
But it doesn't surprise me at all. And Joel, kind of leads to something else I wanted to talk about today. Where's the documentary? Who's making this?
This is actually going to be from the British ITV. I'm trying to find where I can find it in America. But, Brian, because there's so many streaming outlets, I know that I'll be able to find it.
There's so many, right?
There are. When you think you have them all, you will discover more.
I discovered more over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Because I was looking for something to throw on TV before the soccer game. I knew they were doing a whole bunch of pregame stuff. and it was on this network that I wasn't sure where it was or where to find it. And I flipped through. I have like some live TV that's built into the Roku that's on my TV. And I'm flipping through. There's all these channels I've never heard of. There's a zillion channels, Joe.
Oh, don't ignore those live TV stations that come preloaded on your TV. There's an 80s music channel that I like to watch of those preloaded music channels.
There's a channel for everything.
Yeah.
There's this terrible, terrible kid show called Fireman Sam.
Oh.
It's just, it's British or something, which is maybe why like I think it's just so. You'd have to see it to kind of know what I'm talking. It's just so strange. Like, it looks like the final project of an eighth grader in computer class. Like, it's just not great. And, like, shoestring budget. Very simple stories.
See, now
very weird dialogue.
I hear that, and I'm like, if you say it's really bad, I have to watch an episode. Like, that's just how I am with when someone tells me a movie or a show is bad. Guess what? Let's load it up. We're watching it tonight.
There was a full channel that was just that show over and over and over again.
That is very popular on those live TV stations that they preload or on the Pluto app. It's just a show is the channel. Like, there's a Matlock channel on the Roku stick.
Yeah. That's... you can use the TV as a babysitter. You know, whether you're 8 or 80.
Yeah.
There's something for everybody. All these channels exist, and one of them... So there's all those channels that are free you can watch. And then there's the streaming services we talk about a lot. I'm still looking for a way to get Netflix now that they booted me off. That doesn't involve me actually getting it.
that's not an option.
So I got booted off, finally. There's the Paramount that I'm using yours, Joe. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, I do know that. It's the reason when I am told, "Hey, your bills due, or you're a day late." Like, oh, I can't have Brian sign on and not Paramount pop up.
Yeah,
it's also they have the SpongeBob channel on Paramount. So,
oh yeah, it's for you.
Yeah, exactly.
But like all these different channels exist. Amazon Prime is one of them. And Amazon getting into a little bit of trouble with the FTC, who is suing the company. They say it's too easy to sign up for Prime, that they've kind of tricked people even into signing up for Prime. They think they're just buying, you know, a stack of notebooks on Amazon. They end up buying a, you know, $120, $130 subscription to Amazon Prime. And it's way too hard to cancel. It's not as easy as saying, yes, I want to cancel. And then the next window, are you sure? It's like five clicks. And apparently five clicks is just too many. So the FTC is taking some action. I'm wondering how many things there are that people, because part of this was when we were bringing you this story, it said it's $15 a month. And Joe, this is something I don't know about you. Do you have Prime?
Yes.
How much was it when you signed up?
You know, Brian, I can't remember how much it was. I know now I'm paying like two pennies under $15, but I cannot remember what it was when I signed up.
I remember because I had the student version.
You've had it longer than me.
I don't think they offer that anymore, but it used to be if you had a like .edu email address, you could sign up for the student version, which was, I think it was like it was like $40. It was under 50. And then the regular one was about 70, if I have that right. And so I had the student version, then I lose the email, you know, after I graduate. And then it's like, all right, well, I guess we'll keep the regular version. We've had it basically ever since. But the point that I'm kind of trying to make here is you signed up for it at, let's say, $70. And it just comes out of your credit card or checking account or whatever you have hooked up for that, and you don't really think about it. You just know that, yeah, I guess I still use this. I'm not going to go through the hassle of canceling it or anything like that. You might still in your head, because you haven't looked at it, think it costs $70. It's now twice the price. It's like $150 a year to have something, and I wonder if people even know that.
You know, there are things I forget about, Brian, but as soon as it charges my card, I'm reminded. You know what I mean? Like I said, I know the Prime, probably because I paid for it a week ago, but I know the Prime because, you know, I'll check my bank statement. Oh, that's right. The $14.98 came out for Prime.
A lot of people don't check. I'm the checker in the house, like, who's paying attention to this. I think a lot of people don't really look at it. I know a lot of people don't look at it from talking and some of the things I've read, Joe.
I'll tell you this, though. I've never tried to cancel Prime. So these five steps, it's kind of like I want to go in and see what they're talking about.
So I want to know from people, 803-0930. Is it too difficult to – do you have like a horror story of trying to cancel a service? It doesn't have to be Prime, but, you know, anything that you were subscribed to, it could be your cable or internet. It could be a streaming service like this or just, I don't know, like anything that you signed up for a subscription, Highlights Magazine, and it's just you're put through the ringer to try and get out. And then also, what are the things that you're paying every month for that didn't even exist 10 years ago? Because this is like a new phenomenon, the subscription service for everything. Like, what are those things? 803-0930. You can weigh in with us, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. All right, Joe. We were talking before the break about things that we're paying for every single month. And I'm like especially interested in the things that we're paying for every single month that just did not even exist 10 to 15 years ago. Because I think that's that covers a lot of ground.
Yeah, 10 to 15 years ago, you can get rid of most streaming services, right?
Yeah, like all the newer ones. So Netflix was still around. Like what did you really have for an option as a streaming service? You had Netflix.
And Hulu.
And yeah, was that paid 10 to 15 years ago, though?
No, 10 years ago, 2013, that was a free service.
Still free?
Yeah.
HBO probably had its like a version of its streamer out.
Its first one, but you didn't have HBO Max.
But it was basically just Netflix as an option for you. And like that's it. Now it's you've got all the I'm trying to think of all the things on my TV that are either paid for or not, but could be paid for. Netflix, the Peacock, Apple, HBO, Hulu, Amazon. What else am I missing here?
Well,
Paramount.
You didn't have the option to get cable via streaming, but that really just replaces a bill, I guess. So that doesn't really count.
Yeah. It's a new option, but it probably replaces what you already had. Or maybe not. You know, like a lot of people just didn't have cable.
That's right.
For, you know, whatever reason. You don't need it. And now it's, I can get these channels over here. So you have all those streaming media things that didn't exist.
Right.
And then, Joe, like, I found it's a subscription for absolutely everything.
There's a watch subscription.
How many watches could you need?
You get a watch a month. I forgot how much it was a year. But you get a watch a month, 12 months out of the year. Watch Gang is what it's called.
Why would you want that?
Well, maybe you have a job where you wear a suit every day to work and you want to show off your new watches. You work in that kind of environment.
I don't. If you did work, here's my thinking on watches. This is why I'm not like a watch person.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, speaking of watches and the sub, they did James Cameron when he went down he almost reached the deepest part. But it was like right next to the deepest part. But they had a Rolex on the outside of the sub that kept working.
So it did work the whole time.
It worked the entire... Isn't that not the most incredible thing you've ever heard?
How is that not in a Rolex ad? Maybe it is. I just missed it.
It should be in every one. I don't care if it was 10 years ago. It should be every ad.
You know, if I dressed up, I might get that subscription for 6 months. You know, six watches cheaper than if I bought them at the store. Again, but that option wasn't there 10 years ago.
But here's my thinking on watches. It's... Like, so, all right, you're saying you want you have the watch theirs and, like, people will notice it and you'll look nice. Like, anyone who's noticing that, though, knows that, oh, like, that's the watch from the watch subscription. Like, it's not.
You know, I didn't even think of it that way.
That's a cheap thing, right?
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way.
Like, don't watch people know what they're looking at and, you know, they see it's one of, you know what, there's probably not that many high-end, like, really nice watches that are out there.
I know
Rolex.
And
then there's everything else.
Timex.
Like a, yeah, cheap intimidation.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Like, you're probably not really impressing that many people.
Speaking of watches, though, I mean, 10 years ago, you weren't paying for a separate cell plan for your Apple Watch.
Yeah, I'm still surprised people do that. I like that I have the Apple Watch. I don't even have the one that's capable of getting, like, its own cell service.
Yeah, I usually need my phone with me, so that would just defeat the purpose.
Yeah, you have your phone, and like, what are you doing? I definitely don't use it to all of its capability. I know I don't because I haven't updated it in like a year. It's basically there to like track my runs.
Yeah, which I got to start following you for motivation for me.
So yeah, like you have that. Yeah, I pay monthly for my watch. Like
yeah.
That probably sounds ridiculous.
Could you imagine saying that 15 years ago?
No, absolutely not. The underwear subscription service.
Yeah.
Is there people every month getting your new pair of underwear? Like what? Like that's new within the last decade that a lot of people I know have to be signing up for because I've seen the same company in business for the last 5 years advertising everywhere. There's the I've seen Joe. It's a brewery T-shirt in the mail subscription service.
Wait. So you're getting the T-shirt?
You're getting a T-shirt of a brewery every month. Why? What?
I don't get that.
Who is signing up for this stuff?
I know we signed up for a wine subscription, and then like after 6 months realized that we don't drink enough wine to keep up with this wine subscription.
There's a subscription for absolutely everything. What is worth it? What is absolute garbage? You can't believe it's a business that stays in business. And what are you paying for monthly that might not have even existed 10 to 15 years ago? 803-0930, 803-0930. Someone chimed in with the one that I have, Joe. Just as I'm about to say, every subscription is a ripoff. Here I am. I have this unlimited car washes.
Yes, but you only do it in the summer, right?
No, I've got it year-round.
Oh, okay.
To prove the FTC's point, the whole reason we're talking about this, the FTC suing Amazon, saying the company made it too easy to sign up and too hard to get rid of. To their point, and you could go, this goes to any subscription. Anyone who's tried to get out of any subscription, I think, can relate to what the FTC said about Amazon. But they're singling that one company out. I am not going through the hassle of unsubscribing and then resubscribing 3 months later.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
I'll just keep it. It's exactly how they get you.
It's like have you ever tried to quit a gym?
No.
I did this a long time ago when a gym changed its name and it seemed just to, it wasn't in my location anymore. And to get out of that, I had to send a letter to their offices in another state.
Really?
Yes. Now, I'm sure it's not all gyms, but this national gym, I had to send a letter of intent to the state that their headquarters were in. And then I got a confirmation letter. Again, we're talking in the mail, that my membership had been canceled.
I remember, actually, I did quit a gym once. And I'm the only reason I forget is because now I'm a member of that gym because they bought the gym that I moved to, right?
Yes.
So it all came full circle. But I remember you had to fill something out, and they wanted you to give a reason, right? Like why you were canceling your gym membership. Like you had to have a valid reason. And so like what? I'm not a fourth grader asking for a hall pass here. Like I just looked at the person behind the desk. I'm not coming to this gym anymore. So I'm not going to pay for it. Like what? A valid reason. What is this here? Like I'm not in prison. This isn't the parole board.
Did the manager come to check your reason before they could approve your cancellation?
No, they were. I must have had like a nice person because they did it really without a hassle after I like looked so befuddled when I saw like, you know, does your reasoning fall into one of these categories? Like, I don't, like, sure. Yeah, I'm moving out of state. Whatever. Like, come find me. I don't know. It's crazy how they try and get you about that. But that's I forgot that I did that because they ended up buying the one I moved to. So it's I'm right back with the same key,
here I am.
Chain and everything.
Yeah.
The dog food and dog toy subscription. I could see how a dog food subscription would be easy. Like, instead of going out, making the trip, every time you need a refill, you know how often you need it. It gets delivered to your door. If it's what you were going to buy anyway, I can see people doing that. The toy thing, I don't know.
I did that for a year, and we just
really tried out everything.
We just to be honest, this wasn't my idea, but you know, we figured out after so many months, Brian, that in our apartment you can only have so many toys. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have that much space to be getting a box of dog toys every month.
Yeah, like, but like, all of these are, I shouldn't say all of them, the vast majority of them, it's just stuff you don't need. That, how did we ever get tricked into thinking that not only do you need it, but you need it
every
all
month.
The time, yeah, coming to your door?
Well, I think that's the beauty of the underwear one, right? People don't like shopping, and even going online and picking certain things out is shopping. So, hey, someone else will do the shopping for me, and they'll send it to my door. I think Amazon has something like that, too, with like nice shirt, pants, and tie every month. I think they have some kind of club for that, too, where they pick it out and send it to your door.
Yeah, I don't know how
it's peak laziness.
Is that it?
Brian, I will give us the benefit of the doubt. We are so busy that if you can eliminate shopping for certain things from my daily routine, I'll have more time. I think that might be what people try to sell you on, is you're too busy to go buy underwear. You're too busy to go get your dog toys.
Which can't be the case because you're watching an ad on your phone.
That's right.
Like, you're not too busy. You're sitting on your couch looking at this ad. How easy are you to fool?
Pretty easy, because as you said, all these companies are, from the looks of it, doing pretty well.
Even
the Watch Club.
The Watch Club, like all these things that you subscribe for, it began as, and did Netflix set the trend here? Was it Netflix really that was, and Netflix before streaming, it was the movie thing. I guess that wasn't, you know, you kind of made your own schedule on that.
Well, you made the list. Right, you made the list. They didn't just send you random movies. But you would make a list when you initially subscribed. And if you were like me and picked 30, TV shows and movies, I mean, you pretty much had them sending you stuff without you having to go back on their site for a good year.
They kind of started that. Was it them or was it somebody else that really got this whole thing going here with the subscription? I feel like it was Netflix started, and then it clicked in somebody's head that somebody is going to pay every single month. Or maybe that's even too modern. Maybe it's just the magazine model that's existed for forever. How many people got roped into magazine? Do you remember those cards, Joe? You'd fill out the card, it would get sent to you. You can subscribe and get 10, pick 10 out of these 200 different magazines for only $5 a month.
Yeah.
Or like $5 right now, and then like in the very fine print somewhere else it said, and then a monthly charge of $100 for all the magazines, and like it's impossible to unsubscribe to.
I remember that with cassette tapes. They had get five for a penny. And then, like you said, Brian, said, and we'll bill you the rest throughout the year.
You know what? It must have been my mother had a subscription to the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast.
Wow. every month?
That, do you remember that infomercial?
Do I remember it? Of course.
I know this because there are, between my house and hers, floating around, at least a dozen DVDs of Dean Martin's Celebrity Roast. You want to know how many times those were watched?
How many times?
Maybe twice by me when I was in high school.
I was just going to ask, what was your favorite one?
I have no idea.
Do you have the Peter Falk one? Because I'd like to borrow that from you.
Joe, come through all my closets and look, and you are more than welcome to take all the celebrity roasts that you see. But I'm pretty sure that was a subscription.
Well, so they would just send one DVD a month.
They would send it to you just like periodically. You'd get something like, oh, a new one came out. Like, well, actually, this happened 30 years ago, and they probably could have given it to you all at once.
I'll tell you a subscription. Now, this goes back to media, Brian, but this did exist 10 years ago, but I would have called you crazy 20 years ago, and that is a subscription for a membership on your PlayStation or Xbox.
Oh, the gaming thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I remember this well because I bought a PlayStation. It was probably like 7 years ago or so. It was when smart TVs were still too dumb to actually work. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'll buy this new PlayStation.
Because you can use it as a gaming system and it will have the apps for
you. Yeah, I used it 90% of the time for, you know, all the TV, you know, Netflix and all the networks and everything that you watched on it. And then the other 10% of the time was the one game I had, FIFA. And so it was the soccer game. So I remember when I bought it, I bought the FIFA game and that. And the guy telling me is like, well, all right, you need, you know, this whatever to go online and play these games. And I said, well, no, I don't. Like, I've read this. You can go online and stream your Netflix and everything without it. He goes, well, yeah, but to play the game, you need to sign up for this. It's like $12 a month. And I said, no, I don't. Like, who am I? I don't need to be online to play this game. Like, it's a game. You put it in there and you kick it off. And there's Real Madrid, like, right there in front of you. And I got into an argument with this guy. He goes, okay. And I took it home, and I did exactly what I wanted to do with it because I have no desire to go online and play people. But that's now, I think that's like every, are games even games anymore? Does anybody play games by themselves or with somebody next to them?
So I pay about $17 a month for Xbox Live, and Brian, that means I can play people online, and I do like to, my brother-in-law and I like to play Madden. And you can also, part of that $17 is, there is a library of games, FIFA's one of them, by Xbox and EA Sports, that you now have access to for your $17 a month. So it's getting further away from the physical media, right? Like, I haven't bought Madden physically until this year. I will buy it this year. I've just been downloading it off the store. And again, that's $17 a month. I have access to most EA sports games and then a bunch of other Xbox things.
I mean, it's the trick that they play on you, right? Because you're talking about video games. Like, I in that moment in the store, I knew. I was like, look, I understand you sell this thing online and you can play whatever. You know, wow, you can play 1,000 games. And I said, listen, I am playing a video game, you know, at that point. Now it's never. At that point, like once a week, I'm not playing 1,000 games. I'm playing this one for 30 minutes a week.
Yeah.
And like, that is all I need. And I'm not going to pay you monthly for all this other stuff. And in a way, that is still going on with everything else, Joe. And I think about like the music streaming subscription services. Now, in some ways, it's great to discover new music. And there's so much that I don't think I ever would have discovered without having the service. And then there's months that go by, Joe, and I'm sure you can relate to this, where you're paying the monthly fee, but you're really only listening to one or two albums. Like,
yep.
You just have those albums on repeat. And it's like, yeah, this would have been cheaper the old way had I known. I'm going to buy this record and listen to it for 3 months and listen to nothing else but this.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great tool to discover, Brian, but I have to say, I probably do more discovering scanning the radio than I do on the streaming, because I have my go-to playlists, and it does give you that option to be, you know, hey, what's out there? But it also makes it extremely easy to say, oh, here's a playlist I made last month. I was really into that. I'll play it for the entire month, like you said, or 2 or 3 months. It was cheaper when I was downloading stuff from iTunes and putting it on a CD, because it's really, I'm listening to the same 14 tracks.
Now you have to have it, because no cars have CD players anymore.
Like, that's right. You know, if you don't pay it, your playlist goes away.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's crazy. But all these things, it never existed. Inflation. How can people afford?
Last thing before we get out of here, I have to tell you about, you know, gaming systems. I might not be paying that $17 a month much longer, Brian, because I've played 10 minutes of games since my son's been born. I really am not finding much time for the Xbox.
Who would have thought?
Jim? I know. Who? Exactly.
Who would have thought? All right. Well, that's it. We're all grown up and ready for tomorrow, right?
We're all grown up, ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow, Brian, exclusive. It's the Randy Goodbye Show. No? All right.
Is that the theme? I'm going to have to start preparing.
I think that's the theme for the whole morning. But right. Randy Bushover's last day, but not Brian and I's last day, at least to our knowledge. So we'll be here tomorrow. David will be here next. And we'll talk to you 9 o'clock tomorrow. Beamaz and Beamer on WBEN.